Turn with me this morning to Leviticus chapter number 4. Leviticus chapter 4, we're talking about the sin offering. Here in Leviticus, and we marvel how God, in His mercy and His grace, revealed to the people of Israel how their sin could be taken care of. We marvel that God revealed Himself, because man in his own would never know how to take care of his sin. It is amazing, as you talk to people who have had some sort of Christian background, that almost constantly you hear from their lips that they think they're going to heaven because they live a pretty good life. They think they're going to heaven because they live a pretty good life. In fact, I talked to a man yesterday and brought up the subject, asked him if he thinks about eternity, and he said, "Well, I was thinking about that this morning while I was at the gym. I was thinking about life after death, and I was thinking that, yep, I've been pretty good. I've lived a pretty good life. And I'm pretty sure I'll make it to heaven." And you know, you think about that. You think about the fact that man doesn't really know how to take care of his sin. Oftentimes I ask people like this, I said, how is it that you think that your good works can erase your bad? Sometimes people will say, "Never thought of it. Never thought that wasn't very good thinking. I just kind of figured out that that's how you get to heaven." You know, God in His Word has revealed to man how to take care of our sin. And we want to look at that today. We have in the offerings, we have the burnt offering. The Bible says it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. The Bible tells us that the meal or meat offering was a sweet savor unto the Lord. The Bible tells us that this peace offering was a sweet savor unto the Lord. But in the sin offering, we see the fact that sin is dark, that sin brings guilt, that sin brings defilement. We see that sin is costly. It costs a lot. In chapter 4, we have introduction to the sin offering. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them. If a soul shall sin through ignorance. Now wait a minute. We're talking about a whole different realm of things, of sin, than people think today. It says if they do something that's wrong, and they don't know it's wrong, but it is wrong, and it is a sin. But when they find out that it's a sin, they have to bring an offering for their sin. Now, you know, we have a little bit of an insight in that in the New Testament. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. We have a little insight into that. And this gives us a very important insight into sin. Now, the book of Leviticus is about sin. One of the main themes of Leviticus is sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. Are you there? Okay? 1 John 5, 17. All unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. You mean that anything that's not right, anything that's not righteous, whether we know it or not, it's still a sin. Turn with me to 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, that means we name our sins. We name them. Call them by what they are. We agree with God that they are sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there are some people that they think, there are some Catholics especially who think that, boy, they're going to just name their sins, confess their sins, and they're going to be okay because they've confessed their sins. Well, the problem is there's a multitude of things in everybody's life that are sin that they don't even know is sin. And the Bible tells us for the Christian, when the Christian deals with known sin in their life, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all those things in our life that are wrong, that we don't even know are wrong, because we are willing to confess our sin, our known sin, God, in His grace, will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we couldn't have fellowship with the Lord. Now, Leviticus chapter 4 is talking about a particular kind of sin. Now, when you and I think about sin, what do we think about? Well, this is what we think about. Well, I did that. I know I shouldn't have done it. I did it anyhow. That's sin. We say, you know, I know that what the Bible says, But you know what? I just did what I wanted to do. I forget the Bible. I knew what was I was supposed to do, and I chose not to do it. And I know that's sin. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about. What does it say? If a man of a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done and shall do against any of them. Kind of reminds me of this person was talking to a CCM rock musician. I hate to call him a Christian musician because, you know, their music is unchristian. And, of course, you could call him a Christian rock musician just like, you know, there's such things as Christian murder or Christian stealing or whatever. But they said to this lady, hey, I want to give you a book that explains why your music is wrong. And she said, don't give it to me. I don't want to read it. I don't want to be convicted or convinced that what I'm doing is wrong. Now, we live in a day in which there's a lot of ignorance. But even what is done, and you know what? There's probably, there's a lot of people who are sinning in ignorance. The guy who wrote the book on why I left CCM Music, I can't remember his name, but he was a rock star. He got saved, and the pastor foolishly enough said, well, you know about music. You want to lead the music of the church. And so he became the leader of the music of the church. And, of course, the only music he knew was rock music. And but he read his Bible. And one day he was reading this Bible and he was reading about worship. And he understood that the word worship means reverence. It means to bow down before God, to submit unto His holy name. And the Spirit of God convicted him. He says, you know what? This music does not worship God. And he repented. Now, while he was playing that rock music and leading the church with rock music, was it sin? Yes, it was. Was it wrong? Yes, it was. But he mean it to be sin? No. It still was sin. Now, there's many things that are taking place today in people's lives and in the world today that would fit into this category. It is a sin of ignorance. Okay? Now, that doesn't do speak too well for some of us. Because, you know, many of us don't sin through ignorance. We sin willfully. That's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. We know what's right. We choose not to do what's right. That's willful sin. Now, this offering didn't cover that kind of sin. Didn't cover that. They couldn't go with the sin offering under this circumstance. Ignorance. Now, I might get to the other part of that later, but so when the author of Hebrews says, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. He was playing upon this truth the sin of ignorance and the sin offering for the sin of ignorance. But what is the distinctiveness of the sin offering? The distinctiveness of the sin offering is that we sin because we are sinners. We sin because we are sinners. They didn't know they were sinning, but they sinned. Why do they sin? You know why they sin? Because we're born sinners. Do you have to teach a child to lie? No. I almost said them. No, you don't have to teach a child to sin. Why? Because they're born a sinner. Now, I think this is very important. It's very important. And really, it's very important because it is one of the key issues in getting saved. It is one of the key issues in repentance. It is one of the key issues to understanding how to be saved. You know, what am I saying? You know why we sin? Because we're sinners. When we get saved, we aren't getting saved just from a list of sins. We are getting saved from ourselves. We come to Christ because, not because simply we did this sin and we did that sin. No, we come to Christ because the Spirit of God has shown us that we did those sins because we have a wicked heart. We are a sinner. This is a very important truth taught in the Old Testament. There was a sin offering for sins of ignorance. They were still sins. Why did they sin? Because every man is a sinner. Let me ask you a question. Did you come to Christ to save you from some sins? Or did you come to Christ to save you from your sin and your sinfulness? There's a big difference, isn't there? Catholics go to the priest to be forgiven of their sins. And many of them have this idea that I just keep confessing my sins, I'll be okay. But the part that's out of the formula is what? Sin nature. Let me ask you a question, young person. Do you see yourself as a sinner? In other words, you know what? Sin automatically comes out of us. It wasn't an accident. Right, John? It just happens naturally. Why? Because we are a sinner. Think of that verse, John 1:29. I like that verse. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh, see if you can remember the verse. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Is that what it says? Nope. Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away what? The sin of the world. Turn in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, it emphasizes the sin nature in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and not while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, as we see, the sin nature, we see two important emphases. One, it is the fact that we sin because we are sinners. And we have to take care, there has to be something done for the sins of our sin nature. Now let's go to Leviticus and we'll look at another aspect of the sin offering. Chapter number 5. If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and it is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, whether he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. So what is it saying? You touch an unclean thing. You touch a man that's unclean. You don't know he's unclean. Does that keep you from being unclean? Nope. You're still unclean, even though you didn't know he's unclean. Why? Why are you unclean? Because he was unclean and you touched him. You're unclean. Oh, you didn't know that he was unclean, but he was unclean and you touched him. And guess what? Now you're unclean. Verse 5, and shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, then he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned. Now this is the other aspect of the sin offering. And that is, not only is sin a result of the fact that we are sinners, but sin is an action that is a result of an act. We do something. It's something that we do. And we are responsible for what we do. Sin not only comes from our sin nature. You know, here's a little child. And you know, you can kind of see him. Right? And, you know, they're 2 years old. They're 3 years old. And you say, did you take that piece of candy? No. You know they did. And you know they're lying. But they lie. Now why do they lie? Because they're sinners. But you know what? They still made a decision to sin, didn't they? They still decided. And you can kind of, you know, any parents that are here, you kind of can almost watch the gears going inside that head, can't you? You know? You watch those gears going, you know, and they're making the gears go. And then it comes together and then they lie. Now, sometimes the gears work real fast. We had, a couple years ago, we had a summer camp. We had a week of summer camp. And we were taking the kids on a tour. And we took the kids on a tour to Mr. Griffin's apple orchard. And we asked Mr. Griffin if we could go over there, and he said yes. He says, but don't pick any apples off the trees. And so we were going with the kids through the apple orchard and said, now, you can't pick the apples off the trees, but you can pick any apples off the ground. But we stopped at one nice looking little tree because it had some really nice apples on there. And I said, now, look at those apples. Aren't they nice? But don't pick them. And no sooner had the words come in my mouth that one little boy went over there and picked it just like that. I mean, those gears really went real fast. Sin is because we're sinners. But sin is also an act of our will. Leviticus chapter 18. Let's turn there quickly. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of Father, so also is the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Of course, this is a great verse in the Bible. It talks about personal responsibility, personal accountability. But you know, what's it saying? We are responsible. Because we choose. We choose. Sin is an act. You know, we do something and we say, boy, I sure wasn't thinking. At the same time, we have to say, but I did it. I sure wasn't thinking, but I did it. Now the first part is we're a sinner. And sin is natural. And naturally flows out of our sinful heart. Now, the second thing is, I did it. Yeah, we choose. It's an act. And we are responsible for it. And so, the emphasis of the sin nature is identifying man as a sinner. And identifies man as responsible for what they do. You know, we like to make excuses, don't we? We like to say, well, you know, I really didn't think this thing through, and I made some bad choices, and you know, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know what? We aren't thinking correctly. Why did we make wrong choices? Because we are sinners. It wasn't an accident. Someone didn't make us do it. The circumstances weren't bigger than we could control. Why do we sin? You know why? Because we're sinners. And that's what the sin offering is emphasizing. And you know, the fact is, sad to say, we, most of the time, forget that we are sinners. And I guarantee there's people in this room today that are making wrong choices. And the choices are choices that they make. And those choices are wrong and they're sinful. But worse than that is they're not thinking about who they are. They're not thinking about the fact that they're a sinner. And wrong choices naturally come out of the sinful heart. We make choices that are wrong, and we kind of just say, well, you know, I have to make this choice, and this is the decision that I'm making, and it's okay, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe somebody won't agree with me, but we don't look at ourselves as sinners. We don't look at ourselves as sinners. That's just the way it is. Our heart is dark often. We don't think like we're supposed to be thinking. Boy, this, you know, doesn't that kind of alarm you? Doesn't that kind of hit you right in the face when it says, you know what, you did something wrong. You didn't know you were doing it. But now, guess what? You got to go out to your flock and you got to take a bullock. You got to go out to your flock, you got to take a lamb. You got to go out there, and if you're that poor, you don't even have a flock, you're going to have to go get a turtle dove. And you're going to have to make a sacrifice for your sin. You say, oh, I didn't mean it. You did it. We did it. We're sinners. Do we think the truth about ourselves? Do we see ourselves as sinners? You know, people don't get saved that don't get saved because they don't see themselves as sinners. And the teenager that's in this room that isn't saved, I guarantee you, they don't see themselves as sinners. And when we make bad choices in life, I tell you why we make bad choices in our life. It's because we do not believe that we're sinners. We do in our head, but we don't in our heart. But notice, it only also describes the idea of sin, but it makes it clear that of the results of sin. We looked at a couple of those in Leviticus 5. It says this. If a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of unclean cattle, a carcass of unclean thing, and be hidden from him, he shall be unclean and guilty. He shall be unclean and guilty. It's amazing. What does sin do? It defiles us. You know, go to a group of girls that's talking about, they're talking about something they shouldn't be talking about and hear it. That's all you got to do. All you have to do is hear it. What just happened to you? You just got defiled. Oh, I didn't do anything. You heard it and it came into your ears and into your mind. You are now defiled. Are we very careful about sin? Are we very careful about sin? A lot of times we aren't very careful, are we? We aren't very careful of who we listen to. We aren't very careful about what talk people are talking. And we aren't real careful about listening to what they have to say. And they say some things. And we are defiled. And you know what? Oh, no problem. Wait a minute. You know what the Bible's saying? The Bible says we need to confess that as sin. We heard something. Well, we didn't say it, but we heard it. Yeah, you just got defiled. And the Bible says we need to be cleansed from that. The Bible says he is guilty. Man has a conscience. And that conscience records right and wrong. And there is such a thing as guilt. Now, today, people have thrown away the Bible. What do they do with guilt? They go to a psychologist. And they somehow think that a psychologist can get rid of their guilt. No. Some people think that they can get rid of their guilt by talking to a friend about their problem. No, they aren't getting rid of their problem by talking to a friend about it. They're just spreading it. There's only one way that a person can get rid of guilt. That's through Jesus Christ. And you know, you can put guilt in the back of your soul. You can hide it. You can try to ignore it. But you can never get rid of it except through the blood of Jesus Christ. People think, oh, I can go on with my life. Oh, yeah, you can't. The Bible's telling us that guilt has to be taken care of. In that simple verse, Leviticus 5:1, if a soul sin, yes, there is a penalty for sin. There is a condemnation for sin. It has to be taken care of. There is only one way that that condemnation of sin can be taken care of. And that is through a blood sacrifice. The blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What happens to a society that has no provision for sin. They continue on. Unclean. They continue on in guilt. They continue on under the penalty and the working and the power of sin. The Lord is making clear there has to be something has to be done about this sin. Something's got to be done. That's a dominant thought here. Now, sometimes I ask young people. Typically, the people I'm talking about, maybe children or maybe teenagers. And I ask them a simple question. When is the last time you confessed your sin? Did you ever ask your children that? When is the last time you on your own confessed your sin? You would be shocked, I think, if you'd asked, some of you'd asked your children that question. Maybe we would be shocked if we asked some of the adults in this auditorium, when is the last time they confessed their sins? Could it be that there's people right in this auditorium that it has been days or weeks since they even confessed their sins? Now, young person, your mom or dad told you to take out the trash this morning, and you knew that everybody would be rushing off to church, and so you said in the back of your mind, I don't have to do it. I can get away with it. And so you didn't obey your mom and dad, and you didn't take the trash out, and you came to church. Did you ever think that right now that you are unclean? Did you ever think that right now you are not in fellowship with God? You ever think that you are under the guilt and defilement and judgment of sin right now? And you are separated from the voice of the Lord, of His blessing. Why? Because why? There's sin. There's sin. You know, a young person, they can go to church and they can talk back to mom or dad on the way to church. And then they come to church and they're going to Sunday school and they're going to morning service and they're not right with God. How much do you think they get out of the service that day? How much spiritual growth is going to take place in their life then? Now let's look, obviously, at the important truths here. Chapter 4, verse 1, and he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Now, of course, Hebrews tells us the blood of goats can never take away sin. But God made a provision because of the future death of Jesus Christ that man could be forgiven. It's based on the atonement, the Bible says. The word atonement is the word to cover. And it tells us that because Christ would die, and because man had rightly responded to God on the basis of what Christ was going to do in the cross, their sin could be covered. And as a result, they could have forgiveness. As a result, they could have their guilt taken away. As a result, their conscience could be cleared. As a result, they could have fellowship with a holy God. Now, I think the simple principle is this, is the truth of how to walk with God was clearly taught in the Old Testament. The truth of how to walk with God was clearly revealed in the Old Testament. And that truth is much more true, much more obvious today. Is that if we're going to walk with God? We're going to have to walk with God, then there has to be a provision for our sin. And that provision is in Jesus Christ. If we walk with God, we must see ourselves as sinners. I guess that's where it comes, where it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. The proud Christian doesn't see themselves as a sinner. The proud Christian doesn't realize that sin nature is the source of evil. But we are humble when we realize I am a sinner. We are humble when we realize that we are a sinner. When we realize that we're a sinner. We are conscious of the fact that it doesn't take much to sin. It just is kind of acting naturally. How conscious we ought to be of our need to walk with the Holy Spirit, of our consciousness to have His power upon our life, the consciousness of our need for the Spirit of God and the Word of God to be in our life. Now, praise the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ was our sin offering on Calvary's cross. And if you see yourself as a sinner, no, not as a person who's made mistakes, but a person who has a wicked heart that deviseth evil, that rebels against God. And as a result of that sin nature, you have made deliberate choices against God, going your own way. As a sinner, you can come to Jesus Christ because He is our sin offering. Now, as a Christian, I think it's good for us to be reminded that we're sinners. And that sinful heart is a root of all evil. And that we are responsible for our life. Even when we are plain ignorance, we are still responsible for our life. And when we have sin in our life, We must quickly flee to God and the provision that's in Jesus Christ. It's not hard for a person to know that they're on their way to hell when the Holy Spirit shows them their sinful heart. And if the Spirit of God has been working in your life showing your sinful heart, you're getting on the ground, which makes it real easy to flee to Christ and be saved. On the other hand, as we are here today, I want us to be challenged by simply our attitude about the reality of who we are. And I want us to be challenged about a very simple thing. Is how often do we confess our sins? How often do we confess our sins? We ought to be confessing our sins during the day. And at the very least, we ought to confess our sins every morning. Amen. I wonder today, do you make it a habit of confessing your sins? If you've kind of left that out of the formula, I think I could probably say that you've wandered away from the Lord. And perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart today about the fact that you and I have forgotten that we're sinners. And that sin separates us from God. And that's only through Jesus Christ that we can have forgiveness of our sins and fellowship with the Holy God. Let's pray. Father, thank you today, Lord, for a simple truth from your Bible, a simple truth of life. Lord, a simple truth that is easy, oh, so sad to say, easy, Lord, to just kind of get lost in going through the motions of Christianity. And Lord, revive us today about dealing with sin. Revive us today about seeing ourselves as sinners. Revive us today, Lord, our need to go to Christ and have those sins taken care of, that we might be clean, that we might be free, that, Lord, that we might have joy and fellowship with your Son. With heads bowed and eyes closed.